Toffeecast. This is your one-stop shop for all the news and views from Everton Football Club. We've been away for a couple of weeks for various reasons, not being able to catch up, so we've got a lot to catch up on this week. Without further ado, let's get stuck into it. How are you today, Chris?
I was all right, and until I've just got Sky Sports News and I've just seen transfer news and Ross Barkley drill one in the top bin against Watford on the first game of the season, so I don't know what rubbish they're spouting.
I watched Martinez interview today, the pre-match conference that he does, like, and I think the first five or six questions after the obligatory injury questions is that, like, just, you know, when are you going to sell your players to the big clubs? It's that tone from the poxy journalists, like, you know what I mean? And it's I don't know. It does me head in, and it says a lot about football and the state of football and the way football has been since Sky took over, to be honest.
I don't know why I bother. When we're chatting, I tend to put it on in the background on quiet, on some mute. I don't know why I bother, to be honest, because I hate it myself. But anyway, in answer to your question, I'm all right, thanks, and I'm sound.
Happy days.
We couldn't get together last week for one reason or another. We're busy and we just didn't. Time differences and that meant we just couldn't get our heads together. But we've only got about five games to talk about, I think. And so we'll get straight into it, eh?
Yeah, sounds. What was it, Dagenham and Redbridge first, mate?
Well, I think the last one we did was the night before the Dagenham game. I don't think anyone who's listening to this would want us to go on too long about that game. It was pretty tedious, to be honest. I was a bit disappointed. I wish the other team had knocked Dagenham and Redbridge out, to be honest, because I think they'd have come and had a go, White Hawks or whatever. Dagenham and Redbridge, they could have saved themselves a lot of effort and just sent the chairman up in his mouth to come and pick a check up.
Yeah.
And gone back home, to be honest. I put that on Twitter, I think, at the time. That was my view. They turned up, made no effort to have a shot of any note, and then got off without any injuries. See you later. Thanks for the cash. A bit disappointing, really. It's the first time I've ever thought about the first time I've ever thought, actually, yeah, the FA Cup. You know, I love the FA Cup. I always have done. I always will. But I've never, ever seen a team from a lower division come up and just roll over like that. You know, it's not like there isn't a history of us losing to these sort of teams. Over the years, we've always had regular beatings off lower league clubs, from Bradford to Tramiers to Shrewsbury's, and draws at Goodison against your Port Vales and Stockports. And, you know, there's loads. And you just thought, you know, they'd have had a bit of a go, really. But they played sort of a 5-4-1 formation and just sat, and just once we scored, even then they made no effort to get back into the game. And you're thinking, all right, fair enough, you know, just if it's 1-0 with 10 minutes to go, they'll start having a go, but they still didn't.
When you think about their situation, the manager has just took over, their new manager, who's in his second spell at the club, and he's taken over from a club that's fighting relegation into the, you know, bottom three. I guess he's... If I was going into that same situation, I'd probably, like, I'd try and keep it tight and it's Everton on the break rather than go all at them, because once...
No, I didn't expect them to go all at us.
Well, you know, but I'd probably play it that way myself, and I just for the reason that, like, he'd had two good results. He'd had, a win and a draw, I think, since he took over, and he's building some shattered confidence there in his side, you know what I mean? So if they go to Everton and he's just building something, and then go to Everton and Everton snot them 5 or 6-0, like, you know, because you've played, you know, even slightly adventurously, fragile confidence might snap. That's the only reason I can think he would have done that myself.
No, I know what you're saying, but it wasn't even... You know, they didn't try and get us on the break. They never tried to come back into the game at 1-0 with 10 minutes to go. They never, you know, there was very little press, you know. I don't expect for a minute they're going to come out and try it out football. I don't mean that, but they never got stuck in. They never took up the challenge of the cup tie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, they were batting out for a draw, mate, on day one of a test match. Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
That's way to describe it. That's how it was. And it was a bit disappointing. It was a bit of a tedious game to watch. Koné scored. Penalty at the end from Morales. And to be honest, I can barely remember anything else about it. We had a decent side out. You know, all known players. Pino got a start. Lennon got a start. Bessage played well. Gibbo started. I can't even remember him. There was not much. Pennington came on. I think it was the end of the first half.
Yeah, I think he got a cut on his head, didn't he? Funes Mori.
Yeah. But to be honest, me or you could have played centre half against them because he had nothing to do. So it's impossible to judge the lad, to be honest, because he had nothing at all to do. And the only exercise Joel Robles got was when he tried to catch that cat, pick it up out the area. So that's not the only thing he had to do, mate, to be quite honest.
Do you know, I couldn't believe, I generally use that news now, click off links off that, you know. I know about 50 odd thingies of about that cat. And about 10 of the game itself. Which says a lot about the game, but it also says how stupid people are over cats, can't stand the things.
But anyway, you don't want to don't upset all your cat lover fans out there, and
after that there'll be about 50-60 pictures on the Facebook page of cats now.
So that was that. So obviously got through there, and obviously midweek this week Carlisle got through against Yeovil on penalties. So we're off to Carlisle a week on Sunday for the next round. I don't know if you saw that, or Yeovil missed a penalty in the 93rd minute at 1-1. I don't know if you know that.
I saw it. I was sort of following it at work. That would have been a good game for us. Liam Walsh would have been in an interesting position. Young attacking midfielder who's on loan down there, because even though he couldn't play against us because of the terms of his loan, he'd have had his teammates and his manager asking about strengths and weaknesses and stuff like that, a bit of a tricky situation for the poor lad, but he's not had to go through that anyway, and long trip up to Cardiff as opposed to a long trip down to Yeovil,
Carlisle, yeah. To be fair, our strength
is Cardiff.
You say Cardiff, mate. Yeah, I'll let you laugh. I'm telling you, but you don't need to ask anyone about our strengths and weaknesses, mate. They're there for all to see in abundance, aren't they?
Well, we'll get on to that shortly, I guess.
We will. So anyway, we'll park that through to the next round. Job done. And on the Wednesday, we went to City. Well, some of us, obviously, I didn't go. I saw a few bits. I don't know if you watched it. I was going to say we went to City. Some Evertonians went to City. Not all of them seemed to get to City or not. Not the last time, anyway.
I thought the reason we didn't do a podcast last week was because you were still stuck on the M62.
If you want to go with that, mate, that's all right. But didn't see much of the game. I think Everton started quite well. Ozzy could have had the goal of the season. It just flashed past the post. A great strike. Some great work from Lukaku. But by all accounts, other than that, really, certainly second half, they got into the game a lot more. And typically, of having had the pre-match Twitter fume of, I can't believe Tim Howard's back in the side after Joel's done so well against City and Dagenham. Well, so well against Dagenham, in inverted commas. Tim Howard was arguably man of the match, by all accounts, making numerous good saves to keep us in the game.
Yeah, he did. I've seen that. I mean, I saw the whole game. I don't know what yourself, mate. Yeah. He made some good saves, couple were straight at him. But he was really sharp off his line. He commanded his area, and he did it. He played really well. What I thought about that game, it was quite encouraging about the way we defended during the game. But we also controlled. I thought we controlled the first half. We played some good football. Bezic was fantastic. Bezic had a really good game.
He's been brilliant. He hasn't put a foot wrong since he came into the team.
No, no, absolutely. So, yeah.
Here we go.
I thought he'd... Yeah.
Me. 11 minutes, 31 seconds, mate.
Ah, oh, flipping heck. You can't believe you're timing me. He did really well. He did really well. But I thought the whole side played well. A couple of times, I think Delafeu had the ball in good positions and, didn't quite capitalise from it like so. But it was a good... Whilst we're at a stage of the season now where we need to be picking up 3 points, it was a good point away from home against a side who are challenging for the title. And it also gives us hope. I don't think there's anything to be afraid of there if we play the way we can do. I was encouraged by our defending in that game. Having said that, you come to the last minute, and John Stones gave away a stone cold penalty. Yeah, stone wall penalty. We actually went for us, which is quite amazing. It was a clear penalty. He took him out. And it was
with his knees.
Basically, he's not a right back, John Stones. He's centre half. He's playing against a very, very quick winger who's very, learnt to go down very easily. I wonder where he learnt that. Not QPR, anyway. It was a clear penalty. We got away with one there. So, Stones...
Funny, where's the centre half? You still can't be jumping in there.
That's the point I'm trying to make, is that he's done it a couple of times now. And... I think he needs to tighten that up because, there was the Leicester, Stoke, penalty he gave away.
Stoke.
Which was very, very similar. Where he actually played the ball with that one, but this one, no.
This was more reckless.
Yeah.
The way, it was a wet night. Basically, he slid in and then realised he wanted to pull his legs out. So he pulled his legs back, so just took it out with his knees. And, in them situations, I'm just thinking, what did the referee see? The referee's looking at it from not far away. What does he see? Because he hasn't booked Sterling for diving because he didn't dive. What's he actually seen to not give that penalty? Forget the players, forget the clubs.
The time on his clock, mate. That's all he's seen. At the end of the day, I think he's bottled it. I think he's seen the time on his clock and he's thinking, I'll be in the papers tomorrow. They all referee now for their own safety, first of all, rather than anything else. They have different ways of doing it, but this fella just bottled it at the end of the day. Roger East, was it? So, speaking of referees, it's great that we've got Martin Atkinson, who's not got a history at all with Everton for the semi-final against City next week. That's just it's unbelievable that. I really could not believe that, do you mean? It's almost as if they wanted City to go through.
To be fair, mate, I don't think there's anybody left that we can't stand. I think we've named them all this season. It was a good point, and we need to score. I fancy us to score there on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's got to be the first goal. First half,
it makes it interesting.
Yeah, we scored a first goal, and that really puts pressure on City in the tie, and I think we can pick them off.
Yeah, it does, because we're great at holding on to leads, aren't we? You know what I mean? So. That first goal will be vital for us to hold on to the lead for 3 minutes until we equalise and score again.
It's got nothing to do with that. It's all to do with the away goal, basically, because they've got an away goal at Goodison, so it's just not fine.
I wonder why, mate. I wonder why.
Happy days.
But we'll come to that.
Yeah, no worries. Well.
Good point. Happy with it, really. Happy with the clean sheet. penalty aside, it's just nice to keep a clean sheet. Call me old fashioned, but you know, it's nice. You've got always got a chance of winning a game when you keep a clean sheet, like at Newcastle over Christmas. Keep the clean sheet. Oh, look what happens.
As win a corner. As Michael Owen would say, you know, you've got a 50-50 chance of not losing the game if you keep a clean sheet. So, yeah. Have you seen that Twitter account? Michael Owen comes out with?
Oh, I know. It's brilliant. The other one he said about City, when Manchester City don't score, they hardly ever win. It's just superb. Yeah. I'd love it. It's brilliant.
Anyway,
City didn't score and they didn't win. So that was 0-0, and then obviously straight through to, you know, another tough away trip to Chelsea, which I don't think any of us feared. And we would have all been pretty satisfied with a point of 5-3. I think we all thought we had a chance of winning, but you know, a point would have been pretty satisfying. But come 5 o'clock, it was a completely different story. The first half, did you watch it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, it was your, you know, I didn't see it. I was out and about, had a bit of running around to do, saw the highlights. It was a bit of a drab first half by all accounts. Is that right?
In all honesty, the first half I thought was an even contest. In fact, I thought we edged the first half. I thought we played well. Morales looked really up for it, which was good. I thought we played the better football, and it was, I wouldn't say it was a drab first half. It was, you know,
it was
two sides,
was it?
Yeah, two sides trying to play football and, you know, trying to create chances. And, you know, I thought we, you know, we looked strong. And I think with the start of the second half, we really took control of the game. Went at Chelsea and there. Yeah, we deserved to go two goals up. Because we just played really good football. We went at them and we bossed the midfield there. The football we played for the first goal was fantastic. Romelu Lukaku, doing something he wasn't able to do a year ago. And he held the ball up really well there, took it on in midfield, and held off the man and played a great ball. His control would have let him down a year and a half ago. But it's just another sign of the progress he's made for us, you know, which is why, you know, the Daily Mirror wants to sell him. It was a great ball across, and... yeah, lovely little pass in for Baines, and was it Lukaku who got in there? Yeah, I think Lukaku had then just darted in there, like, you know, behind, and
if Terry had never done it, Terry, it was Lukaku's goal. There's different types of own goals, isn't there? There's own goals that are stupid mistakes. And there's probably three. There's the stupid mistakes, there's usually the deflections. And then there's what, like the forced own goals, and I see that as it was a forced own goal, really. It came from good play. We forced that upon them, and if it hadn't been John Terry, Lukaku would have scored quite easily. So that was it was a good goal. And then I thought Morales's goal was an absolute peach. What a finish that was. It was an absolute peach of a goal. Yeah. What a strike.
The way he wrapped his body around that.
Brilliant, unbelievable finish, and that's what you get with him when he's... I've always liked Morales. I think he's a proper player when he's on it. But, you know, it's hardly a surprise that it's taken him a few games to get back into the swing of things when he's been dipping in and out. He's a player who's got to be playing football.
Absolutely. I think there's a reason for that, though, Chris.
Sure there is.
We had Kone score the hat-trick earlier on in the season, and he got a run on the side, playing in that role. I think I mentioned it in the last podcast we did, where he was playing in that role where he's winning the ball in between the back four and the midfield, and it's allowing us to build from there. What's changed over the last couple of games is that Barkley has really taken over that sort of role. If you notice, he's winning the ball there a lot, and you know, either holding the ball up well or laying somebody in or whatever. And I think the next thing I wanted to talk about actually fits in with this, so I'll just go into that for a moment if it's all right, Chris. And it's the return of Leighton Baines to the side and to form. You know, his first couple of games he was fairly quiet, but the last few games he's like the Baines of old. He's been getting forward. He was responsible for both goals the other day with his runs up the wing. I thought he was fantastic. He's been, again, strong at the back, strong in the tackle as well. Like, you know, just it makes such a difference to have such a footballer there. And that's no offence to Brendan Galloway, who's going to be a cracking footballer.
He's not a left back, he's a centre half.
Yeah, that's it. Well, he's got a way before he can play at centre half yet, but yeah, totally. I think, you know, basically just to. That difference, those two things, Barkley and the development he's made in those positions, and Leighton Baines coming back, has meant you can leave Kone out. And you can leave Kone out, that means you can play Morales, you know what I mean? And you know, start him from there, because we're actually, you know, with the way we want to play in possession, it means that we're actually getting somebody in there who can, you know, lay the ball back or lay the ball across. You know, and or take it on himself, and it's an evolution in our play, which has allowed us to then sort of, well, rest Kone and drop him because his form has been poor over the last few weeks, and it's just interesting, these little changes that happens to the way we play over the season, and it's, you know. It really helps us, and by, you know, actually having somebody in there who can do that takes the pressure off then Lukaku, because if you're playing the ball up to Lukaku with his back to goal like that, we know that's not his strength. He's improved on it, but
yeah.
You know, we want to build the ball there, and sometimes we have to play it a bit more direct, and playing that ball into Barkley there is really helping us sort of, you know, build, and it takes the pressure off your Gareth Barry, your Mo Bezic, your back four in terms of the ball forward. And it's great to see. It's good. It's attractive to watch. It's good football, and Barkley's playing really, really well now. He's gone on another level. A lot of people have talked about Lukaku, but Barkley's really gone on another level this season as well. So,
I agree. Basically, he's going to be more consistent. He does give the ball away occasionally, but that's fine. I've got no problem with that, because he's trying to do the right things, and that's what happens, as we've said a million times before. But then, you know, we haven't got 2-0 up at Stamford Bridge. We just Evertoned it, didn't we? All over the shop. And, you know, just bad judgment and bad luck, really. I don't understand how we can't tighten up. This is the sort of in-game management that I think Martinez lacks, as much as I think we had a bit of bad luck in some ways. But you can't blame the manager for any of the goals that we conceded, in my opinion.
I agree.
Against Chelsea. But equally, why the in-game management needs to be quick. You know, it's got to be instant. Right, we're 2-0 up. Right, let's shore things up. Let's play slightly differently. Let's not just keep doing what we've done and hope they don't get through us.
I guess, whether
it's been a bit tighter in the middle of the park or what, you know, it depends what he feels he needs to do. But having said that, you know, and the reason I say that is because in his interview after the game, he said, yeah, the game opened up at 2-0. Well, why? Why did the game open up when we're 2-0 up? Why did we let it open up? And that's where he's got to earn his money for me, more by being able to counteract that.
It happened really quickly, because you went from the 2-0 there, they scored within about 5 minutes. And
8 minutes what, it was, and what, eight minutes it is, and
yeah.
That's long enough to go right bang. This is what we need to do.
But you look at what they
scored. Eight minutes, it's nearly 10% of the game.
But look at what they scored from. What was that?
No, I know that.
Have you got one of those little pianos there? You're trying to, like, I've made the point. I'm going to play a little tune now.
There's that many phones and tablets and bits of technology lying now in this house. And Daniel's mate's got a YouTube channel and he keeps posting him videos and all that, and his tablet's on the couch there and he just keeps making strange noises all the time.
Oh, fair enough, please.
So I'm assuming that's what it was. But yeah, that goal, you know, the first goal, which effectively got them back in the game, is another one. We just had to go as long as we could, didn't we, without letting them score. The longer it was 2-0, the better for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as for everything I've just said, you can't blame Martinez because Jags couldn't deal with the ball over the top, and Tim Howard, instead of taking them both out, went in like he had the new pair of boots on, he didn't want to get dirty. Basically,
that was it.
I thought the two of them were a shambles for that goal. But neither of them took the responsibility to deal with it. Some people might say if Joel was in goal, Jags might have had more confidence, but at the end of the day, Jags and Tim, I wouldn't say that. Jags and Tim, I would have played together long enough. And for me, it's the fella who's looking. It's the player who's facing the play. Tim Howard, after Jags hadn't dealt with it, Tim Howard should have dealt with it. You can see what's happening, but Jags should have dealt with it, if you know what I mean. It should have been dealt with. They were so weak and soft. It was just, you know, we all know Costa's a strong centre-half and the way he plays, but he didn't have to be. He didn't actually have to do anything to win the ball. It was pretty poor.
Jagielka was two or three steps further forward when the ball was played than he should have been. Now, whether we pushed the line high to try and take Costa out, you could see sort of that Jagielka realising that the ball is actually just going to go over his head, you know. And he should have been in a position where he's there to head the ball. John Terry, in the same sort of thing, he's not letting the ball go over his head there. He's dropped that few steps back to head the ball away. And that's the position that, you know, we should have been in at that point. Because this is the thing, when people are talking about, like, you know, we needed to adopt a defensive shape, with that first goal, there was 10 men behind the ball anyway. It's just that Jagielka was out of position. And then Tim Howard comes out and, well, clears out the wrong player. You know what I mean? So it's
individual errors, individual errors, and then obviously within a couple of minutes, a massively deflected goal that would have been a comfortable save had it not been deflected, and it was a scuffed, wasn't a great strike by any stretch of the imagination from Fabregas. It was just bad luck. It was one of them goals. It was just bad luck. And then, you know, at 2-2, Everton showed the character. Like they did at Bournemouth and having other games, like they did at, you know, against Stoke when they were 2-1 down, to get back into the game, you know, it was a good goal, it was a corner one, it cleared, whipped back in from De La Feu, and to be fair, it was an awful marking by them, wasn't it? You know, Mori and Lukaku were fighting as to who was going to put it in. We've got problems at the back, how does that happen?
Yeah.
How does that happen in the last minute of a game? Two of them literally unmarked to stroke it in, but with 8 minutes on the clock, everybody just knew, didn't he? I bet there wasn't an Evertonian that thought, oh, that's the game won. But I'll have to tell you though, I had to, the reason I didn't say it is Daniel had a party to go to and I had to take him. But my missus was out, so I took all the kids with me, like, all three, not all, please make it sound like I've got a minibus full. Took the three of them and dropped him off. And I was driving back home, and it was the second half, and it was 1-0. Thought, you know, get in. And a couple of minutes later, obviously, Manolas scores his peach, and it's 2-0. Thinking, oh, this is it, at last, get in, you know what I mean? Delighted. So we pull up on the path. It's 2-0, you know, radio off, keys out, ignition. Come on, kids, out the car. Got them in the house. Yeah, get your coats off, kids. Coats off, hung them up. Put the telly on, 2-2. Yeah. Are you joking, aren't you? I've just got off the car and took the kids' coats off. You know what I mean? I was like, Jesus Christ, I just couldn't believe it. And then I was watching Sky Sports News, and you probably would have seen that side of it, but he'd been to Stamford Bridge and he'd said Everton had a corner. So when the goal went in so quick, I knew it was Everton. Like, yes, get in, 10-5, beautiful. But then we just knew with the amount of minutes that was being played that this was the end. You know, this wasn't the end of it. But you know, to concede a goal at the end in that way is just, what do you say? It's just ridiculous.
You've got to win your head. But we seem to have a problem with a ball 40 yards. And I don't get that. That for me, that's defensive positioning at the end of the day. I think Gareth Barry got, who's been, for me, probably my player of the season. I think basically, like, he was in the wrong position for one of those sort of headers and didn't win it cleanly, and it ends up sort of getting pumped in for John Terry, who was, you know, so far offside, he was in my front garden for a bit, like, you know, and yeah, oh, you got to say, what a finish by Terry, little flick like that, dear me, that was
Howard should have done better as it happens, but I'm not going to blame him for that because, you know, the linesman's got to get them decisions right. It was clear, it was a clear offside. You know, I'm all marginal ones that happen quickly. I'm all right with them going for us or against us. When the very marginal, when his, you know, his index finger's offside or his shoelace is offside, whatever. That's just the way it is. But when you're a couple of yards off, there's just absolutely no excuse for it. But people then say, well, you got away with it against Man City with the Stones penalty, so they level out.
Yeah.
What's ironic is I'd rather lost 1-0 at City and 1-3-2 at Chelsea because we'd have had an extra point.
Totally. And this is the thing, this business of leveling out is a load of crap anyway, because I can think of a million times where it's gone against us and I can't think of anywhere it's gone for us. It's it goes against us in big games as well. I mean, I go back to the 84 Cup final, you know what I mean? So Alan Hansen's on ball on the line. I'm not going to, because he made a career on the telly about, you know, calling people, you know, saying, that's a clear hand ball and stuff like that, you know, for 20 years. And, you know, the Captain Scarlet headed weirdo, like, you know what I mean? Completely hand ball there. Was it Adrian Heath's shot in 84? That was my first trip to Wembley, mate, so I'm not going to let that go. You know, there's thousands of them. You know what I mean? It happens to us in big games, and this is one. You know, I mean, you look at the league table. You know, next to 2 points on there, we're level with you know, Jurgen Klopp's Revolution. We're actually level with Crystal Palace, in eighth, and we'd be 6 points behind. So we'd be up there in eighth, and instead we're in 11th alongside Watford, and it's small margins at the end of the day. So, you know, to catch up with, even just for a European place with United, we're 8 points behind, and that's, you know, that would have been six. And I'm not saying, like, it's a wonderful thing to be above Liverpool or Crystal Palace, because they're two average sides. It's just,
I don't think they're that good, to be honest, but there you go.
Yeah.
Certainly not
at the
one.
End of the, what I'm trying to say is that it has an effect. And does the referee get punished? No, he's refereeing this weekend in the Premier League. Now, I can't remember how much it is they earn. They get £1,000 per match, which I think is about $2,300 New Zealand dollars, by the way. For you know, 90 minutes of work, or 98 in this fella's case. And this shower of referees that we've got, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, and it's not me just refereeing bashing for the sake of it, they are the worst bunch that I have seen. And it lies at the door of Mike Riley, who himself was a poor, poor referee. It basically, he's the person in charge of the PGMO. He sets the policies up. They're in charge of the training of the referees. And they're untouchable. They're on barley, a lot of them, you know.
To be fair, I can't believe I'm defending a referee in this situation. But it's not the referee's job to give the offside, mate. It's the linesman's.
Well, again, they fall under it. Match officials, PGMO.
Right, okay. Yeah, now they do. But I'm just making the point that the referee is going to live or die by the decisions that his linesman makes. You can't overrule your linesman from the position a referee would be on the pitch in that scenario when it's his job. Really, all they bloody give is offsides anyway. They don't do anything else. They don't give throw-ins anymore. They don't give penalties anymore. They're only there for offsides. They might as well get a machine to do it, if I've been quite honest. It might be more accurate. So, you know, he's got to go with his line, hasn't he? So, whilst I take your point about referees thoroughly, and your point about the fact, yeah, you're referring to match officials, but I think it's right that we just, you know, distinguish between which decisions referees are making and which decisions the lines are making.
That's a fair point.
That is your line, isn't it? You know, it is your linesman, isn't it? And unfortunately, none of us know who they are, because they're just a bunch of no marks in the main. And none of us could even slag them off because we don't know who they are.
No.
You know, but anyway. So, yeah, very, very disappointed. Really disappointed to throw it away. I think we won 1-0 there in 95 when Rideout scored. We haven't won there since.
It's 94, mate. You know, it was a game after Duncan Ferguson's first goal. So we played Liverpool at home, and I think we went away to Chelsea the following week. I think Limpar created that goal, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, it's the season we won the cup, wasn't it? Basically, that's what I meant, the 94-95 season, wasn't it?
Yeah. Halcyon.
But yes. Halcyon, mate, yeah. So anyway, that was that. So, to be honest, I'm sick of talking about the Chelsea game. It just makes me angry. So, we've got Swansea on Sunday dinner. Will you get the chance to watch that? That will be, what, 2:30 in the morning? On Monday morning for you, that's a cracking time to watch a match, Dan, isn't it, Mark?
Oh, I hate the Monday game. When it's on a Sunday for you, it just does my head in. What I'll be doing is more than likely going to bed early on Sunday night and getting up early and watching the game before I go to bed. So I won't watch it live. I'll watch it sort of as live at about 5 o'clock in the morning, and then I'll go and have a fantastic day at work. It's going to be great. It wrecks my head, but it's one of those things.
It's all a bit weird, isn't it? It's a bit weird with Swansea. I thought Gary Monk, and we've said on here, Gary Monk was doing a decent job and had done a decent job, but then obviously he'd lost a few games, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's getting the hoof to give the assistant. Hold on, sorry, can I just stop there? I've just got to go. Kevin Nolan is the late Norwegian player manager.
Yeah, do you not know?
Kevin Nolan? Yeah. Oh, my word. Words fail me.
That's right. That's me despising them anyway, because I couldn't stand that.
Push me over the edge there. Right, okay. What are we talking about? Right, Swansea, yeah. So Gary Monk and all that. I thought he was a bit harshly dealt with. You know, they were trying to build something slowly there, and they've just gone back to, you know, they've taken a step backwards. But rather strangely, the appointed assistant, wasn't he, has done caretaker and then the manager till the end of the season. But then bring in some fella.
Guy Delaney.
From Italy. From Udinese or something, wasn't he? I don't quite know what he is. Head coach, is he the manager, is he not? I'm not actually quite sure, to be honest.
Yeah, he's head coach.
Yeah, it's all a bit odd, but yeah, another manager, first game in charge against us. So, that's that. I got distracted again, Dan. I'm sorry for going all over the place here, but this is just real time, isn't it? And George Green, remember we talked about him, the lad Everton signed from Bradford.
Yeah, gone to Burnley.
And then he had a bit of a bad time. He's just signed for Burnley, and he's got 6 months.
Behind the zeitgeist there, Chris. I don't know.
Some of us have got things going on. Maybe we can't all sit in front of the telly like you all day, mate. Or all night. Or whatever. I know you've got a job now before you start, but, you know, I'm a busy man, mate. I can't keep up with all this, but it was only today anyway, wasn't it?
Busy man. Dear.
Only signed today. But anyway, listen, stop it. I'm glad for him because he was playing at Ossett Town when he took a bit, you know, he realised the error of his ways and his bad attitude and took a massive step downwards to revive his career, and he's got, you know, the brave, in inverted commas, brave steps that he took with his career seem to have given him another opportunity in a, you know, at a good, well-established and well-run championship club. So wish him all the best with that.
I hope it works out for him. I did read a couple of things today on one of the message boards that a couple of Evertonians were saying that Everton should have done better for him, and it's like, well, how much can you do? At the end of the day, you know, when the lad's not turning up and things like that,
if you read the article that he wrote about him, if you read the article that was written, it was in the Telegraph or the Guardian or one of them,
yeah,
one of the papers that you or I don't read, put it that way. If you read the article about it, people would realise, you know, he thought he was too good, you know, he got to Everton, his attitude went from, you know, deteriorated, he wasn't turning in for training, he thought he didn't need to train because he'd made it. You know, what can a club do with that? That's not what you want to see. You're floating around your club. Things like that have a habit of spreading, and it's not something you want at your club. So, yeah, you'd need to see what... And he knew that. You'd have to read that article, I think, before anyone could judge. It was a very good article, yeah, very well written, very candid. Very candid.
Definitely. And I hope it works out for the lad, I really do. So, I tell you what, I was giving you a stick about being, you know, behind the zeitgeist or whatever, like, you know, and I'm like that word, zeitgeist. I'll probably get told I've pronounced it wrong by your mate soon, but...
You're
12
hours ahead of me as well, mate,
so
you're bound to know first.
Oh, well, this is it. I just realised that John Joe Shelby had left him as well, so I'm giving you stick, and he went to Newcastle for 12 million, like, so, yeah.
But that was about a week ago, mate.
I know.
That was, like, a week ago.
Hey, all good. Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
We'll get on to this.
Yeah, this is it. So, you know, what Swansea going to be like without Mr. Strickland from Back to the Future? I don't know, but, yeah, all good.
Who knows, mate, who knows? But basically, it looks like McCarthy and Coleman, they are training, but they won't be fit. I'd hope to see Joel, but we won't. We'll see Tim Howard, we'll see Baines, Stones, Morey and Jags, I suspect. With Bašić and Barry in the middle. And then possibly, who do we think? Morales one side, De La Feu the other, or Lennon the other. And then Barkley and Lukaku. I can't see it being any different than that, the team, to be honest. It's a game we've got to win. It's a game we should win. They haven't performed well. It's a game we've got to be winning, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
You know, they're struggling to score goals. Yeah, and I expect a comfortable victory. But I don't know why, because why should I? Because nothing's ever comfortable. Everton don't do anything comfortably, do they?
Well, I think about Swansea, they're still scoring goals. You know, I thought they were unlucky against United the other week, a few weeks back now. I thought they were unlucky against them, and it looks like they've slowly improved. Beat Watford on Monday, which is a big result for them. Having been beaten by Sunderland quite heavily a few days before, so they're still scoring goals. So they'll be a threat for them. That they've got a very good centre half in that. What's his name?
Ashley Williams.
He always seems to have a good game against us, unfortunately. In fact, what was it? He scored the other week, and it was his first goal since scoring against Everton, like in 2014 or something like that. So
sounds about right, mate, don't it? Sounds about right.
Yeah, this is it. So, you know, they've got a couple of players who I quite like that Key, the Korean lad. I always thought he was a decent midfielder, but they just haven't really performed that well this season. It's up front where I think they have the problems, to be honest. But we'd be basically, if we go out there and we play well, you know, we there's no reason why we shouldn't come out with a comfortable win. it's we're nervous at the back, you know, and a lot of supporters are nervous about us at the back. But I did feel that until last weekend we'd been making some strides there. I don't know. Little things like Jagr Yelka getting a few more games under his belt won't harm us either, because he'd been out for quite a while.
Of course, mate. That's right. And it took Baines a good few games to get back into it.
Yeah.
It took Baines a good 5 or 6 games to get back into it. The only sort of slight concern I've got is, you know, is not giving any daft free kicks away in and around the edge of the box, because that's Sigurdsson, who is a good player. I do like him. He takes a good free kick, doesn't he? He can strike a ball well, Sigurdsson, and I wouldn't want Besic and Barry giving daft free kicks away 25 yards from goal, because he's got a good dig on him. And, you know, Everton being Everton, you could just see it now, Everton having the 80% of the ball for 25 minutes. Gareth Barry sticking a knee out and Sigurdsson putting it in the postage stamp, and we're getting beat 1-0. But you've just got to be a little bit careful, I think.
I think, you know, we've got to talk about the reaction of the crowd then as well. You know what I mean? To these setbacks. Like, Rob, you know, what I noticed about Chelsea the other day, I mean, they've had a really disappointing season, you know. But they went 2-0 down, and, you know, whilst you could hear a few people, you know, berating their players, like, you know, they still got behind their team at the end of the day. And they got the just rewards out of it in the end. There wasn't that sort of atmosphere that you get at Goodison, where it's like somebody's head's got a roll and, you know, there's a fatwa out on, you know, the manager, the chairman, the tea lady, you know what I mean? It's
yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say they were just rewards. They got the rewards. I wouldn't say they were just.
Well, but... yeah. I mean, for the support as opposed to for their team. We deserve to win the game at the end of the day. So, I mean, you know, their supporters got their just rewards, you know what I mean, for the effort they put in, like, so. And ours didn't for the effort that our brilliant support put in away from home. You know, they were absolutely fantastic again going down there, and
yeah, of course they were.
That's all you could hear. Like, you know, they just, everywhere we go when we go away from home, you know, just fantastic support. Just fantastic.
Best away support is full stop, as far as I'm concerned, but we would say that, wouldn't we? So, yeah, you know, who knows how Swansea will set up. New manager. I'm not going to try and second guess them, to be quite honest. So we'll see what Sunday brings. But no doubt, who knows? I'd like to think that Martinez will have at the back of his mind Wednesday night. I'm not suggesting he'll rest any players for Swansea, because picking up 3 points is massively important. But do you know what? If we're 2 or 3 and they're up with 25 minutes to go, I'd like to see him. Maybe, I know I'm speaking a foreign language here to Roberto, but maybe taking players like Gareth Barry off, God forbid, you know what I mean, and giving him a little blow.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to be fair. I mean, he's done it a couple of times this season, like in the cups, but he hasn't really had the, you know, there's not been a time where Bezic, McCarthy and Barry have all been fit at the same time.
No, I agree. It has been a bit of one gets injured, one gets fit. I do agree with that, to be fair. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. And then obviously Wednesday night at City, it'll be talking about away support. There'll be some blues there. There's been like a postcode ban on ticket sales for this game. I don't know if you know about this.
No, didn't know that.
Basically, obviously, City fans don't sell the ground out, do they? So there's obviously Everton have sold their allocation, and there's tickets available in the city, and so they've stopped selling tickets to people unless they're members of the club or whatever, you know, in certain postcodes around Liverpool and Hudson Talons and Widnes and Mersey and all that, Merseyside in general. To make sure that there's not too many blues in there. Why they just didn't give us more tickets? Because I think they're closing a stand or part of a stand. Like, why didn't they give us more tickets? I'll never know, but that might be the police, to be fair. But anyway, yes, so they'll have great support on Wednesday, and who knows, mate? Who knows what could happen? We could get absolutely rolled, which would just be Everton all over. Or, you know, it's definitely a tie now we can win. Definitely a tie we can win. They expect us to get an away goal, which means they'll need to score two. And then, they'll need to score three to win. They'll need to score two to get it to, you know, to extra time. And then if it does go to extra time, we get the advantage of the away goal during that 30 minutes. But, you know, who knows? Joel will be back in, which I'm happy about. But other than that, I think it'll be pretty much business as usual, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I really feel that we've got the attacking options to score goals against City at the end of the day. And for me, it's just about how many we concede. That's the top and bottom of the game. I do feel that we'll score at least one against City. But we've really got to all be at our best right throughout the side. So it's our best opportunity to win a trophy for my, you know, the best one we've had since the Liverpool game some years ago that we won't talk about. We really need to just get stuck into them.
Well, Everton of when though, that's the question.
What Everton really is to all our supporters, you know. We could all want things to be better, we could all want to be owned by a gazillionaire, we all want to be at the top of the table. But we want to do it Everton's way. You know, this opposition that we're playing against this week in the Carling Cup, you look at them, they're owned by a billionaire, and yet they don't sell out the stadium. And it's a tourist stadium, you know what I mean? There's a section of real City fans who've been there through thick and thin, and then there's just holiday makers, basically, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's what happens though, don't it? It does happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sad state of affairs, but it does happen. Do you know what? This goal, Jags and Howard, is on Sky again. They must have showed this like on the hour, every hour. It was like nearly a week ago. Why are they still showing this?
Which one?
Have they got nothing else to do? The Jags and Howard, their first goal, Chelsea's first goal. Why are they still showing this on a Friday night?
Because they're making a story at the end of the day. It's how they build up pressure to try and make a story, you know what I mean?
But I'm not going to even bother talking about potential teams other than what we've said for Wednesday, because we've got games in between, and knowing us, you know, injuries, suspensions, whatever, anything could happen. So we'll just sit tight, I think, and wish the Blues the best of luck. And it'd be great to get to Wembley for a final, especially the League Cup, because A, we haven't been there for a very long time. B, tickets are a lot easier to get your hands on, because we get a bigger allocation, because obviously the FA final tickets go to all kinds of suits. So it'd be a great opportunity to take the lads to Wembley for the first time as well. So all being well, we might have a little something to look forward to at the end of February, early March, whenever it is.
That's it, mate.
I'm just going to go off piece there again. I'll just tell you a funny story. I've just seen flash up there. Gary Hooper, a sign for Sheffield Wednesday from Norwich. Sounds like a pretty run-of-the-mill headline, that. Which it is, to be quite honest. But when I was there a couple of months ago, I was at Blackburn talking to one of the dads. And he was telling me, he said, "Hey, look, Gary Hooper, Norwich striker going to Sheffield." I said, "No." He said, "He agreed a fee." So we're going back a good couple of months here. He agreed a fee. And they started talking. The Chef Wed, I think, have come into a few quid. I think you've got me to support them. You may know, but they have got some decent money. And I think they'd offered him like 50 grand a week. And it was like miles more than he's on, you know what I mean? He was like, oh, this'll do. But he went into his negotiations with his agents and his dad. And apparently, this is how the story goes, that he got offers this wage. He's like, oh, amazing. And then they say, well, can I have this? Can I have that? And, oh, yeah. And his dad pipes up and says, can we have a box? And they were like, nah, no, can't, no, they can't really get you the box. And he goes, well, I want a box. And they go, well, all right then, but you'll have to pay for it. And he was like, no, I'm not paying for a box. I want a box for nothing. And they went, all right then, I'm not signing yet. See you later.
No.
So this lad's got the contract of his life, and his half fella scuppered it for a box at a club he doesn't even support. And he sent him packing by all accounts, but obviously he's come back in for him now. But I just thought that was a boss story. Imagine that car journey home. Hey, Dad, can you keep your mouth? I'll bring it to the game.
Is that what you mean by an undisclosed fee?
Undisclosed fee. Yeah, I don't know how true that is, but that's someone told me that ages ago.
I hope they gave him like a cardboard box or whatever.
Just reminded me, it's a cracker, isn't it?
So
there you go, mate. There you go. So I think we've just about nailed it, really, other than one last thing to say. Stephen Naismith, best of luck tomorrow against the Cop Heights. Hope you score the first goal, the last goal, the middle goal, all the goals.
I hope that's not like one goal.
Yeah, well, if it is, mate, as long as they win. But, you know, aside from the football, he was just a sound lad, wasn't he? Did a lot for the unemployed and the homeless of the city, which he obtained publicity without seeking it. He came across as an all-round sound fella. That came through in the way he played football and the efforts he put in on the pitch. He played for the shirt. He played for his teammates. A very intelligent footballer, I thought. Yeah. Just lacked that little bit of quality to set him apart at the top level. His first touch and, you know, was pretty much his downfall for me. I think his brain was ahead of his feet. In respect of ability, I think he was a very intelligent player.
Yeah, he didn't have fast legs either.
He said he didn't have fast legs, mate. He didn't. He had a fast brain, though, that's for sure. Very intelligent player, but as I say, just lacked the touch for me to make him a good player. But, you know, at the end of the day, he scored against Liverpool. He scored against the big teams, in inverted commas. Including a fantastic hat-trick, probably one of the best hat-tricks I've ever seen live. Well, if you can say I've seen it live, because if you remember, I missed the first goal because I was late for the game. Coming back from the kids' footy, but as far as I'm concerned, I've seen it. One of the best hat-tricks I've ever seen against a very good side, and I don't think I'll ever forget that hat-trick. So we just want to wish him all the best, except for obviously when we played him, in which case he does nothing.
Last game of the season,
which is actually the last game of the season, mate. Yeah, could be to a... finished top four, that, mate.
Yeah, who knows?
Just take the air tongue from firmly out my cheek there, mate. So, yeah, right.
Another player who started off being, you know, not a fan's favourite by any means, you know what I mean? And, after his first few games, some of the sages in the stand said that he was garbage. And, you know, much like Kone and... Yeah, he turned around, he worked hard and proved the fans wrong. And he's leaving with everyone's best wishes. And that's what we want for a player, is for him to leave on with everyone's best wishes. But I hope that we start to give some of our players a bit more of a chance than a few games before deciding the garbage. Because Stephen Naismith certainly proved a lot of people wrong in his career. Well done to Stephen and all the very best. I'm sure it won't be the last time we see him in Merseyside, because I think he'll probably still do the dinners and things up this way as well. Like, you know, just a thoroughly good man.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I agree. Wish him all the best, as I say, especially tomorrow. But it's now time for me to get some beauty sleep, mate. It's 12:15 and I'm shot. So
beauty sleep. Does that mean we're not doing a podcast for a few weeks then?
Hey.
That's a good one. So we'll try and do one next week. you know.
We will, mate. We will after the City game.
Yeah.
Maybe next Thursday or Friday we'll have a little dabble. But yeah, happy days. I will speak to you next week, and good luck to the Blues on Sunday.
Happy days. All the best, Blues. Thanks a lot.